This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks. Of course, he joins us every single Tuesday. There's an awful lot going on, primarily today discussing, you know, the absence of Darius Slay moving forward, unless they keep him. But I tend to think he's gone. Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Elliot, my reaction when Slay news came out yesterday was, and so it begins. The loss of really good players that we loved and helped win a Super Bowl. I tend to think that holds and he won't be kept, even though they can still negotiate with him. Elliot, good morning, buddy.
What up? How you guys doing?
A lot, man. So what's your reaction, Elliot? Darius Slay has been told you're no longer an Eagle. Yeah. What's your reaction?
My initial reaction was probably different than others, just because I think what they're losing more is like a locker room guy than on the field. And he was very good on the field last year, I think better than people expected. Maybe very good as strong. But he certainly had a good year with the team, and replacing him won't be easy. But I equate this, and just in a locker room sense, not from a fan sense, but from a locker room sense of losing like a Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelsey, Brandon Graham. Like, he was that influential and popular in the locker room. Like, he was one of, if not the most vocal players in there. All the teammates loved him. And just from a pure, like, helping guys around him perspective, I don't know if I've covered an Eagle that does more of that. Like, they have a lot of good guys in that way. But so many times after a training camp practice, I would be out on the field, and you can just see Darius Slay working with a young corner or a young receiver, like, for, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes after practice. So we'll talk about on the field, but off the field, I think this is a very big loss if he does leave.
Well, what is the – how likely is it that he's brought back? The possibility, if it exists, how likely is it?
So the way I would phrase it is, I think because the Eagles love Slay and Slay loves the Eagles, you can't rule it out. I just don't think it makes sense this time. Like, last year when they brought him back, I thought it made sense. They had just drafted, or they were planning on trying to draft young corners, and having him around to help them made sense because of, again, what I talked about with the off-the-field stuff. But I think this time around, if I'm Slay, I just won a Super Bowl, and, you know, he's been pretty vocal that he has one more year he wants to play. I mean, are they going to promise him a starting job? Like, if he comes back, is he going to have to compete? Are they going to say, you'll just definitely start? Because I think in base next year, when there's only two corners on the field, they're going to want it to be Cooper and Quinion. So that's a reduced role already. And then from the Eagles' perspective, this would be somewhat the perfect time to turn the page to either Akili Ringo or if you re-sign Isaiah Rodgers. So I just, look, anything could happen. They both like each other, so it's possible. But it just doesn't seem to make sense, for me at least, like on the field.
So you bring up those names, Keely Ringo, Isaiah Rodgers. Isaiah Rodgers is on a one-year, $1 million deal this past season. What would you expect he will be fetching this year? And Keely Ringo, how ready is he to play cornerback in the NFL? He's only been special teams. How far away is he from being able to do what someone like Isaiah Rodgers does?
So I guess to start with Keely, when I talked to Christian Parker, their defensive backs coach at the Super Bowl, I asked him, like, what player are fans not talking enough about that you've been impressed with this year? And the first name that came out of his mouth was Keely Ringo.
Wow.
So I do think internally they do like him, I'd also add that the Eagles often bring up, like, when a guy has an awesome year on special teams as a young player, it's kind of a sign that maybe they're ready to contribute on defense more. They saw that with N'Kobe. Nolan Smith had a good year on special teams, and Keeley had a really good year on special teams. So I do think internally they're into the idea of Keeley. Now, you bring up Isaiah Rodgers. Like, Isaiah Rodgers beat Keeley out last year for snaps. If you remember, whenever Darius Slay came off the field towards the end of the season, it was Isaiah Rodgers that went out there.
Yes.
His contract is tough to predict just because I think they would want different things. The Eagles would want Rodgers on a multi-year deal because if he comes in here and wins the job, they're going to want him under contract. And Rodgers probably wants a shorter contract because if he comes in here and wins the job, he can then cash in. So the number I would think would be maybe like $5 million a year average, but it's tough to guess because he could be anywhere from starting corner money to backup money. But I think they'll try to re-sign him.
And James Bradbury is still
he's not going to be. Yeah.
he's technically on our team right now.
They don't carry him again, though, right, Elliot?
Potentially.
No, he'll be gone.
Okay. Okay. And he's gone even though are we paying him this year, Elliot?
So they'll likely be a dead cap hit, but I mean, like, Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox had almost $30 million in dead cap hits last year.
It's just the cost of business.
Yeah, it just is. So they should have, after cutting Darius Slay, around $26 million in cap space. The Bradbury thing won't cost them any more space to move on from him.
Jeez. Elliot, let's talk about some other aspects of this free agency thing. You know, we have spent a grand total of 0 minutes, zero, talking about other teams' players that could become Eagles.
Yeah.
Are there anybody that comes to mind for you that we should be aware of?
Miles Garrett.
But he's not a free agent. Are there anybody that come to mind that you think could slide in here on whatever level of deals?
Yeah, so I think two positions I would definitely look at from a free agent perspective would be edge and defensive tackle, just because they're set to lose guys at that position, assuming Milton Williams and Joshua don't come back. I do think they could draft players there, but you also probably don't want to go into the year with Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt, and a rookie as your top three guys. So a few names I would keep an eye on from edge perspective. One would be Azeez Ojulari from the Giants. He's still very young. He's only 24 years old. He has 22 sacks in 46 games, but he has had health issues. So I think that, you know, he kind of checked a few boxes. One, he has production. He's young. The Eagles like to target young players in free agency, especially if they're going to give them any type of substantial money. And he has a proven track record where you feel like his best football could still be ahead of him. So I would keep an eye out on Ojulari. And then from a defensive tackle perspective, they could go older there. I could picture them signing a vet just because they are young and you would like a veteran experience there. So Jerron Reed out of Seattle, he's played in winning organizations. He had almost as many pressures as Milton Williams did last year. And so he's a name that I would keep an eye on. But I definitely think edge and defensive tackle are two positions they'll be after.
All right, so let's talk more about edge. Brandon Graham, Elliot, two questions. Question one, do the Eagles want Brandon Graham back if he wants to play? Question two, does wanting him back depend on whether they retain Josh Sweat and Milton Williams? Put another way, does Brandon Graham not know right now what's going to happen with him next week?
So to the second question, I don't think what happens with them impacts Brandon. So you look at the edge position, again, you have Jalix Hunt, Nolan Smith. I do think there's a pretty good chance, just, you know, you never know how the draft will play out, but it's viewed as a very strong edge class. So, you know, maybe a rookie is slotted into one of those like four or five spots, however you want to look at it. So there's maybe one or two spots left. The sense I got during the year was that they wanted Brandon Graham back. Like, I'm not as sure about that anymore. And I don't know if Brandon has an answer yet on like what he's going to do. I do think the injury probably impacted things, and then obviously winning the Super Bowl. So if you had to ask me right now, I would bet Brandon like retires and does not play next year.
Yeah, it's kind of my instincts also, but
He was good. I did think it was the opposite side of that coin, though, for a stretch in the middle of the season.
I felt like he was playing
at such a high level, and it felt like they wanted him back. I don't know what it was that changed that. Do you have any idea what might have changed
the injury?
I think the injury, but also Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt really played well at the end of the year. And so then you go from middle of the year being like, well, who knows what Jalix Hunt is? Nolan Smith hadn't really taken off yet.
Right.
Brandon's playing awesome. Maybe it makes sense to bring him back. But now if you expect those two to get big-time snaps, plus like adding on a rookie and maybe another vet, like slowly those snaps start to go away. So that could have been part of it. So
I think that's what it is, the precociousness. And then what about Myles Garrett? Myles Garrett, we haven't talked about him much today.
We haven't.
But major opportunity here in my book, Elliot. What's the likelihood you think that he's an Eagle eventually?
So leaving Indianapolis last week, the best way I would phrase where I view the Myles Garrett thing is, I think when Andrew Berry decides to trade Myles Garrett, the first call he'll make is to Howie Roseman. Like, they have a good relationship. There's interest there from the Eagles. And then once that call's made, maybe he asked for too much. Maybe the contract doesn't work out. But I think the Eagles will have a chance to acquire Myles Garrett this offseason if they want to. I feel confident the Browns will trade him. It's just going to come down to whether or not, they feel like if it's two ones plus $100 million guaranteed. Like, I don't know. Howie said flat out at the combine, they're probably not in a position right now to trade a high level pick and hand out a high level contract. And another thing Howie said that has stuck with me is he basically was like, you probably won't see too many new jerseys at the link next year. And I think his way of saying that was like, you're probably not going to see a big, big impact guy where you're adding like a Saquon or, something like that. So who knows? But I just think Andrew Berry will call Howie and be like, hey, we're going to trade him. Like, what's your interest? And then Howie will have to decide.
Yeah, and with the 32nd pick, that's hard. All right, Elliot, let's talk about the two Kennys.
I don't think it's hard.
John, I don't know how with the 32nd pick you think that puts the Eagles in the driver's position to get.
He wants to be here, and I'm saying we offer
you don't them. Know, you don't know that. You don't know that.
Well, he wants to be somewhere where he can win a Super Bowl. I believe that we're a great option in that
regard.
Eagles
are an option. I mean, so could be the Rams. So could be Detroit.
Absolutely.
So could be Buffalo. So could be Kansas City.
I know that at the Combine, everyone was abuzz about the fact that Howie Roseman really was on this. Howie Roseman really was focused on figuring out a way to get Myles Garrett here.
The other thing, too, I would add, because I heard you talking about Lurie and owners before I got on, is I do think if the Eagles decide they want him, and let's say there's four teams that are willing to pay Myles Garrett, I'd be surprised if there's a team willing to cut a bigger signing bonus check than Jeffrey Lurie. Like, that is one advantage they will have contractually if it comes down to negotiating with Myles Garrett.
Good.
Beautiful.
Love that. All right. Final thing, Elliot. The two Kennys, Kenny G and Kenny P, Gainwell and Pickett. Do they give Kenny G the extra $2 million to keep him? And they got to get rid of Pickett, right? I mean, with all these starters, you got to try to keep. You can't have an expensive backup when you got Tanner McKee ready to slide to two. Pickett's got to be gone, right?
Well, so Pickett is not a free agent. So
I mean, you got to trade him.
Yeah. So I think they'll try for sure. I mean, it depends what the offer is. Like, if nobody wants him, would they just cut him? Probably not, because he's not super. I think his base is pretty low this upcoming season, so I don't think he costs a ton of money. It would just be a matter of what they could get for him, and that's tough. I mean, he played well in the one, two games he played last season, but you're probably not getting much more than, a sixth. And at that point, would you rather just keep him? And then as far as Kenny Gainwell, I think they're ready to make Will Shipley the top backup next year. So if Kenny Gainwell hits the market and doesn't find a contract he likes or a better opportunity, maybe Kenny Gainwell will come back, but I don't think it'll be – give him an extra $2 million to keep him. I think it'll be Kenny calls the Eagles and go, hey, this is not how I expected free agency to go. And then maybe they bring him back. But I think Gainwell's probably gone.
Sirianni's going to give him a big hug because I think Sirianni loves him.
He loves him.
He loves him.
He does. I agree. But
aren't you concerned about Shipley not being able to pass block as well as Kenny does?
That's definitely part of it. And that's why Gainwell plays a lot.
Yeah.
I'm worried about it.
That's right.
For sure. Shipley's had a full year of coaching. Jamal Singleton, I think, is a good running back coach. So, I think they would only move on from Gainwell if they felt Shipley could do that. But I think as a runner and a player, they think Shipley is just a better option.
All right, last thing, Elliot. Hurts Day tomorrow on our show.
Oh, okay, here we go.
How rough is this going to be on me, the audience coming after me? Or are people going to acknowledge that they did carry his ass until he stepped up at the end?
Well, I don't think that comment.
That's not going to help, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you just got to admit, like, and here's what I would say with her. People should be able to change their mind. If you were critical of him in week 7, 8, 9, I don't think that means you can't enjoy his success now. Now, you were
absolutely
a little over the top.
I was hard on him. I was.
Yeah.
Also haven't pointed out yet, but I will right now for the first time. They win the Super Bowl comfortably with Tanner McKee in that game. Who am I to say?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be a rough day for you.
Who am I to say when the defense gives up one first down in the first half? You think they would have won that Super Bowl by 20 points?
No, they would have gone out there and said, oh, no, Tanner's our quarterback. Then instead they were like, we got Jalen. We're going to win.
By the way, how many?
You underrate the leadership, what this guy means to the team.
How many touchdown drives did Jalen have in the first half? The answer is one. One drive. Yeah. He got the ball on the 12-yard line when he hit A.J. Brown.
I'm going to try to coach you through
Cooper
this.
Cooper DeJean had a pick six. He had one touchdown drive in the first half. But no, Tanner McKee, who, by the way, won his one start 41-7.
Against backups.
There's no way the Eagles.
You're a fool.
All right, I'll stop.
I'm definitely setting my alarm for 5:45 tomorrow. I can tell you that. So,
no, you know what? I'm ready to give Jalen a lot of props, obviously. But I do think.
I think.
There's a lot of truth to what I just said. Elliot, have a great day, buddy. We'll talk soon, man.
No, there is not. Right, no,
man.
There is not.
I shouldn't bring up the Tanner McKee thing.
It's nonsensical.
Yeah, 41-7 in his one game.
It's a silly thing to say.
Yeah. You know, that touchdown drive.
Hold on.
When he hit A.J. Brown.
How about the fact that you're just wrong? What? It was not 41-7 in that game. That was the game that Kenny Pickett started and Tanner McKee finished off.
What was it?
21-7 or 21-14 or something like that.
I'm going to get my games confused.
Hammer! Shut his hole!
Hammer went 4 for 5 this week, apparently. Sorry. My fault.
That was beautiful.
You know what I'll do Friday?
Bang!
I'll be ready.
Yeah, Hammer!
Always ready. But I make my mistakes sometimes. Listen, I did dog Jalen more than I should have. There's no doubt. I did underestimate him to an extent. I still don't think he's as good as some people do, as many people do, but he was better than I thought, and I will certainly acknowledge that tomorrow. We'll have some fun with the show tomorrow. Let's also get to our Twitter poll questions of the day today, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's their people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, will Darius Slay make the Eagles Hall of Fame, yes or no? Second poll question, of the four big free agents the Eagles have, Vaughn Becton, Milton Williams, and Josh Sweat, how many do you think they keep? You can vote on both of them at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's get to Chuck right now in Cherry Hill. Good morning, Chuck.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. The criticism, apologize for my voice, of Harper today by Rick and Mike, I think, is really unwarranted. As a matter of fact, I think it borderlines outrageous.
I think so too. I agree.
I gotta say, I'm worked up today. My wife said it's not good for your blood pressure back-to-back days, but it's as if we all just landed on Mars or something, because the numbers belie any criticism. First,
including
of all,
postseason
Philly
numbers.
Yeah, well, I want to get there in a second, but let's just go to Philly, since we love him as a Philly. I'm going to round here just a little bit, Your Honor. 290, 400, 533, 924 is a Philly. What? Any criticism of that? Last year they put him at first base. He's in the top 5 DRS defensively. Here he is in postseason for the Phillies. Check this out. I'll go slow. 325, last 3 years, 325, 444. Check this one out. Slug, 709. OPS is 1153. Yeah. Do you realize, Joe, he is in the top 10 all time. That's the club that's got Ruth Gehrig and Cobb in it.
Wow.
He is fifth in 4 categories, and his 1016 OPS is 9th all time.
Like, I think he's amazing. Chuck, let me say this one thing, because there's part of what those calls said that I do agree with, though.
Okay.
If he's not willing to do things that he should do to help the team, like bat in a certain spot or play a certain position, that would bother me. I mean, Aaron Judge, for what it's worth, despite being like the biggest human in baseball, still plays center field. All I hear about is center field. It's the hardest thing, and you can't put your body out there. You got to cover all this ground. Like, center field. Aaron Judge is like Eric Lindros in size, and he plays center field. And he hits 50-something homers. Like, that's freaking ridiculous. That's amazing.
I acknowledge that. To that end, can I ask Ruben a question that's kind of a yes or no answer?
Why not?
Thanks. It's always good talking to you, Ruben. Thank you very much. Do you think yes or no? And I know we have to conjecture here and lose our minds a little bit, but that's fun. Do you think the Phillies, yes or no, have gone to Harper and Turner months ago and said, will you guys consider left field and center? Because that is a huge consideration. Had they done that for Stott to go to short, maybe pick up a Walker for first, who knows? But do you think that conversation, that meeting, took place with those guys?
No.
Okay, thank you for that. All right, good, good, good. Somebody's qualified to answer that. I appreciate that very much. Joe, just let's appreciate this guy. I mean, the clutch home runs he hit against San Diego, Atlanta, this guy, postseason.
Yeah. Well, him and Wheeler, look, Schilling delivered in 93 in the postseason. Cliff Lee, obviously, in Cole in 08, Cliff in 09.
Yeah.
Like, there are some guys that you just feel like you can trust in a postseason moment. Harper and Wheeler, I mean, it's not their fault they haven't won a World Series. Those two guys have delivered so dramatically in both the regular season and the postseason.
And I have to say, Turner's 313, 375, 530 post, 906. So Turner stepped up postseason.
That's heavily weighed by that first Braves series, if you remember.
Yeah.
He went wild in that one. All right, Chuck, I need an answer. An interesting celebrity.
I don't really have any. Jim Carrey, it's a bad answer, but anyway, it's an answer.
All right, it's an answer already said.
Good answer.
Yeah, already said.
It's a weird noise he made.
Was.
Yeah. I mean, like a really weird noise. Belch-like.
He was...
Belch and growl.
He was contemplating.
Contemplating.
He was. Ruben, what was the hardest, speaking of contemplating, the hardest decision you had to make as GM?
Oh, Charlie Manuel.
Mm.
That was awful. That sucked. There was, that was, I mean,
Yeah, I know.
I would never want to go back to that space again.
We could tell.
Awful.
Yeah, that
you know what pissed me off was when people actually thought I was faking it.
Well, that's so ridiculous.
It's silliness.
I never heard someone say that, but you heard people say that?
It's insane.
That's not cool.
Terrible.
Yeah.